Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday evening here in Central Kentucky, where I, Stephen Zimmer, am broadcasting from. And joining me tonight for the show is the wonderful, the vivacious, and the loquacious Holly Marie Phillippe. Hey, Holly, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm here. How are you doing?
That's good. Long time no see.
Yeah. It's been about 30 seconds.
About 30 seconds. Well, we got a good show tonight, Holly. It's going to be great. Get to have a guest that we've never had on before, who has been to Imaginarium before, however, and is awesome. And it's going to be a great follow-up, I think, to even last week's show with William Joseph Roberts and, you know, of course, the Three Ravens Publishing. Yeah, if you didn't catch that, folks, pull that up from last week. You can catch all our episodes on Blog Talk Radio / Star Chamber Show. You look up all previous episodes, download, stream them. Definitely check out the one with William. We did go over by, I think, about 30 minutes, so there's plenty of bonus material on that one, too.
We do have
good
a
show, though.
Channel also that you can catch
yes.
A lot of our back episodes.
Yes, also at the 7-Star Press YouTube channel as well. And should be having some new ones added to that just shortly here. And, yes, chat room is open, folks, and looks like Carol Preflatish, author and a multi-award-winning screenwriter, is the first one in there tonight. So, yeah, if only we had prizes for that, Carol. If only we had prizes. Not just yet. Haven't quite gotten to that stage.
Multi-award winners.
It's multi-award-winning, yes, which we are very, very proud of. Yes, we have just such outstanding people among our listeners. And, of course, we always will bring you news on what all the cool things Carol is up to. And definitely I'll be having her on the show as well sometime in the near future. So it's been the week's been flying by. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving and holiday weekend. I know there's all that shopping craziness with Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. I mean, yeah, it's like a parade of specials and all kinds of stuff. But yeah,
I
so
avoid
people
it like
get,
the plague.
Yeah. But that being said, however, we think it's a great gift idea to give somebody an experience, memories, and life growth and development. And you could do that with an event ticket to Imaginarium 2024. You could choose single day options, get them a Saturday event ticket, or get them a full weekend event ticket. But it makes a great gift for friends or family members of yours that are of the creative type, writers, filmmakers, artists, all those kind of folks. They will love it,
or
I promise
fans.
You.
Or fans
yeah.
of indie
yeah, and
film.
Or fans, yeah.
Gaming. We have a game
absolutely.
Hall. You know, Friday all the way through
mm-hmm.
Sunday. There'll be gaming all the way from, gosh, like 12 o'clock up until like 1 in the morning. They have went to 2. So, yeah, they got
uh-huh.
a good thing going in there.
Yep.
So, yeah, check us out. And then you've got the Expo Hall, where you can find all kinds of vendors. Of course, you've got, you know, your favorite authors there that you can meet and actually will speak to you and take pictures with you and mentor you. And they love to answer questions and, you know, sign books. And then there's tons of other vendors. We have Pamela Miller,
lots of cool
for
stuff.
Instance, you know, that does, the holistic lotions and you know, diffusing oils and all that good stuff. And gosh, there's just all kinds of there. We have t-shirt sellers. We have Oh, our little friend from Tennessee that sells all the pop comic, you know, fanfare. She has the pop, what do you call them? The little heads,
yeah,
what do you call them?
Funko Pops, AB Tales, you're thinking of.
Funko Pops, yeah, AB Tales.
Yeah, AB Tales.
Yeah, Funko Pops. She has a ton of those. There's all kinds of neat little knickknacks and things. So, yeah, I mean, there's just so much to do, and there's panels and workshops and entertainment. And like I said, film, you know, there's always films going on from morning till night. And, yeah, we just have a lot of fun. Chit-chat.
So make it a gift.
Come out.
Yeah, so give somebody.
Yeah.
Give somebody a gift of an event ticket this holiday season. And, these are the kind of gifts that last because it's the kind of place where people make lasting friendships and great memories are made. And, yeah, that's the best kind of gift. Better than just a pack of socks or something like that, right? So get them something like this.
Yeah, hang out with your favorite creatives.
Right. Yeah, who just joined the chat room, such as Duan Hearn Moon. It just came in. He's in the chat room. But, speaking of Imaginarium, we always like to give you the updates at the beginning of the show of cool stuff that got added in the previous week. And as always, even though it was a holiday weekend, we do have some more stuff to tell you about that's pretty cool. And so we had 4 new panelists added, and then today we announced 5 new workshops and 3 new panels to main programming. So I'll give you a quick review of those. When it comes to the new panelists, we added author, editor, publisher, and publicist Rita Beeman. We also added poet, artist, actor, podcaster, musician, and cover artist Stephanie Lanham, very talented individual, first-time panelist at Imaginarium. Author, editor, artist, and book blogger Jen Selinsky. And then we also added author and publisher Ian McMurtry. And so, another quartet of amazing panelists. This keeps growing. Got to check out the bios on the guests and panelists. I mean, these are some really, really top-notch individuals, and you definitely want to read about them before you attend. And when it comes to panels, yes, Holly's been hard at work. We're getting information out earlier than ever on panels and workshops. We're way ahead of where we were last year in terms of announcing actual confirmed programming. So this is a good thing. But I'll give you a quick list of titles and moderators and or presenters where they have been declared of these 3 panels and 5 workshops. And then I'll let Holly comment if she would like on some of this stuff. But under new panels, Gender Essentialism, Where We Can Go, moderator Kevin A. Davis. Then we have Kickstarting 101, moderator to be announced. And, yes, that's what you think it is. It is a primer on the world of crowdfunding and Kickstarters. Then we have our popular Marvel versus DC, which is moderator to be announced. Most likely it'll be Tony Acree if he wants to do it again. If he feels like it, because it's kind of like his panel almost. That's where it started. Right. But we just need to get a final confirmation how much he wants to do next year. But, yes, we will have the panel itself, comparison of the Marvel and DC creative worlds, where they are and where they you think they're heading, and what they're getting right and what they're not getting right. And nowadays with the way a lot of movies are hemorrhaging money, and there's a lot to discuss when it comes to some of the Marvel DC stuff. Yeah, that should be an interesting discussion. Might get a little fiery too. Who knows? But then we have under new workshops, we have Better Beta Reading, Both Sides of the Pen, and presenter for that one is Morgan Hazelwood. We also have added Coping with Imposter Syndrome, and this will be a good one for some folks to go to, because I do know some fellow writers that struggle with this, and the presenter is a great one, Lynn Slaughter. Lynn Slaughter is presenting that. Exploring Sexuality Through Poetry. Presenter for that is Erin Crittenden, and Erin's fantastic. Yeah, she was there last year, and definitely we're definitely glad to have her back this year. We Are Not All the Same, Tips for Writing Diverse Characters. Presenter, Lisette Blythe. And Lisette is a new panelist this year. Definitely excited about Lisette joining us for the first time as a panelist. And then last but not least on the new additions is a Imaginarium favorite, Sako Toomey, presenting websites for authors, and she is a phenomenal designer and artist. So, yeah, there'll be very good content in that. If you're looking to spruce up your online presentation, your websites, which is one of the most crucial things for every author to have, definitely a workshop to go to with Sako Toomey. So there you go, Holly. Got any comments on these announcements?
I've got a lot more to come. However, now I want to make this public service announcement. Now, I have a lot of guests coming in, new guests, new faces, lots of experience under their belt, phenomenal knowledge that they are willing to share. So just because you submitted, you know, two or three workshops ideas, it doesn't mean I will be able to choose them. I have to be very careful in my picks this year because, as you know, we grow every year, and I get a ton of submissions, and they are phenomenal. And, I mean, they really are. And it's hard. It's not an easy task, but I always want to present something fresh and that's current that I know everyone will want to attend and, you know, will find fascinating. So that's what I have to go through. So just because you sent one in, don't mean you automatically are going to get chosen. I just can't. I don't have room for, all of them. But I do go down my list very carefully. I do choose very carefully. And we will be announcing, a few every week. If you are chosen, I do email you to get, the rest of the details and things that I need for myself and to work out with you. But, so if you don't hear from me right now, don't mean I won't pick yours. It just means I haven't picked it yet. So, even if you applied 2 months ago, I may be writing you in January, So, just keep watching emails.
Yep.
For updates and stuff too, as we get closer.
Yep. Awesome.
But that's what I wanted to pass along. But yes, please check out that list and keep current with it because, they're banger. They are banger workshops and programs.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. We're leveling up every year. But, we're getting close to when our guests will be on deck here. So I'm going to go ahead and move to recognizing the folks that brought you tonight's show. And tonight's show is brought to you by the amazing Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and also the fine folks at Per Bostet Publications. So first we'll get into a little bit of the holiday mood with Sandy's Christmas spot here. And then I'll go over and tell you a little bit about Per Bostet, and then we should be ready to go right into our visit with our guest. So here we go. Here's from Sandy.
Give someone you love the gift of adventure for Christmas. Help them escape reality with an epic fantasy dragon girl power sword and sorcery saga that thrills and entertains. Send your loved ones to Unveiled for the holidays with a novel from author Sandy Lender. Visit Sandy's author page on Amazon or her website at authorsandylender.com and make it a fantastic Christmas.
So yes, get on your sleigh bells and go out and buy the Choices trilogy from Sandy Lender because it's a gem. And all of Sandy's works because, she is an amazing, amazing writer. So now I'll tell you about Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBastetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in regional events such as In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July of 2024. PerBastet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Yes, big salute. And shout out, of course, to Teely Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen, the literary trifecta of our area. Just fantastic folks. And so, yes, I'm going to go right into our introduction. Our guest is on deck. There we go. Our guest is on deck. We got it. But yes, I am really excited about tonight's guest. Tonight's guest was a panelist last year at Imaginarium 2023, our 10th anniversary, and is a science fiction romance writer, best known for her Alien Brides series. She is also the head editor for Raconteur Press. And so tonight, for the very first time on the Star Chamber Show, we welcome C.V. Walter. C.V., your mic should be on.
All right. Hope you guys can hear me.
Hear you loud and clear.
Fantastic.
I even got a new headset tonight to make sure that we'd have an easy conversation without tech problems.
I am ready. I was making sure my headphones worked for the last 15 minutes, so we're good.
Yes, we spare no expense on this show, but great to have you aboard. And like I said, the chat room is open, folks. If you have any trouble logging into that, just refresh the page. We'll take comments and questions from there. But we definitely want to give you a chance to this first time on our show, and definitely we do not want this to be the last. We do need an introduction from you for our listeners about all the wonderful things you do, and then we'll dive into some comments. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about, it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I will keep it short on what I do. So I started writing short sci-fi erotica, graduated into novels, and I'm a full-time writer. And about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine went to dinner without me and was challenged to publish an anthology. Had no idea what he was doing, so called me, and I had no idea what we were doing. So we went ahead and did it anyway. And so we started Raconteur Press. I'm the editor-in-chief for Raconteur Press. I read all the submissions. I mentor all of our authors, or try to mentor all of our authors. Some of them need more than others. Some of them are better than I am, I'll be honest. They're awesome.
No, we understand. We know what it's like.
And, so when I first started out, I did everything from cover design to copy editing, and now I actually have a team of people who are working with me, which is actually very helpful. So I've done everything. I've done every step of the publishing business, except for running a bookstore, and I think that actually might be next.
Oh, mercy. You do have your hands full. Wow.
Yeah, we can relate to you in many of those areas, but yeah, running a bookstore, we're not going to get into that. We know enough bookstore owners. Yeah, we've got a feel for what that's like, but that is amazing.
And
I'm excited about talking tonight about Raconteur Press. I definitely have a great group coming up next summer with Ian McMurtry and Rita Beeman and Jonna Hayden and yourself. And, just a great group. And, so we're definitely getting that. We appreciate you guys a lot. But I'm really interested in your writing as well tonight. So I want to make sure we cover that because, we're just chatting briefly just before the show and you're wanting to and this is something that I'd like to address for the audience, but the difference between like science fiction romance and romance in sci-fi, and I'd love to get into that because that gets at your writing, and we'll start there.
All right. So there is a difference between science fiction romance and romance in sci-fi, and it's something that I think a lot of sci-fi readers aren't as clear on. So the big difference is going to be romance follows a very specific set of tropes. You can call them reader cookies. You can call them, you know, the expectations of the people who read the genre. And so sci-fi romance is essentially the romance tropes, the romance plotline with science fiction elements in it. You could have spaceships, you could have aliens, you can have, and it can be anywhere from, you know, Fall Guys Painted Blue, which is a complaint that I've heard about a couple of series, all the way to, you know, I like bug-eyed monsters. And they can have any amount of sci-fi elements in it. But the important part of a sci-fi romance is the romance. That is the most important part. Without that, you do not have a book. Romance in sci-fi is a science fiction book with a romance subplot. You have romantic tension. You might have a love story going on. But the most important part of the book is the sci-fi plotline. And if you take the romance out, there's less to it, but you don't lose the book.
That puts me in mind of, like, Star Wars, you know, like between Anakin
right.
and Padme, you know, and all that. So, yeah, you have the romance element, but it's not the the main focus.
Right. And quite frankly, Padme had better chemistry with Obi-Wan. Although I will be Reylo for the rest of my life. Just saying.
Praise the best.
My headcanon for Reylo is totally better than any of the movies they made, so I'm just going to stick with that, because they totally missed a whole plot line they could have gone with. So
that's true.
That's true. Absolutely. Now, talking to romance writers, we've had several that, you know, you would classify as maybe mainstream or traditional romance authors. And, you know, in talking to them, I mean, they make it clear that they're, you know, they can't stray far out of certain boundaries, that their readers have a definite expectation.
Yeah.
Some people may call it a form. Some people may use the term formula, but there's a definite structure that the readers expect for those type of books. My question for you is when you are introducing speculative fiction elements with, you know, like I said, science fiction romance, do the readers of that give you a little more grace to bend those parameters, or do they have largely the same type of expectations on you know, certain aspects of the story?
Tell you that romance readers will read across genres. So they will give me grace, but they will also point out that this was not a romance if I go too far. They'll read it and they will enjoy it, but they will also say that wasn't a romance because they know what beats they're looking for. And sci-fi readers will not. And sci-fi readers do not give you, like, I'm not going to say none of them at all, because some of them have been very pleasantly surprised by my books. I had a couple, my favorite review ever was, I didn't realize it was a romance until they started kissing. And I'm like, really? I got the sci-fi elements in there. Like it was following the sci-fi plot, but it was also following the romance plot. So that was, I had a really great balance between two genres. Because I can never do just one genre. But romance readers, romance readers want their cookies. And they know exactly what they're supposed to be, and if you don't give them to them, they're going to be upset. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's one of those things where I'm thinking, you know, I liken it to, poetry, right? If you're going to write a sonnet, you're going to write 14 lines, and they're going to follow a very specific type of writing pattern. But within those 14 lines, you have complete freedom to do whatever you want. And that's what romance is for me. It's like you have a very solid structure of what's supposed to be in a romance. But once you've got that structure, you can do whatever you want. So
you can play with
it. It's kind of like when Holly and I are writing our yearly entries in the haiku contest at King Oscar Seafood. It has definite structure, but does it allow for a lot of inventiveness? when yes. you're writing about
oh, yeah.
canned haikus
we have
about canned fish.
Yes, we have. Been.
We did our so this year for Reckender Press, we did our postcard anthologies, which mm-hmm. I don't think I mentioned, but it was one of those like as big thing that kind of blew up on us. We didn't expect it to be as big as it did, as big as it did. And it was, you had to write, we gave you a picture and you had to write exactly 50 words. And it had to be a complete story in exactly 50 words.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And you would
nice.
Be amazed at how many people actually managed to do it. We have
awesome.
Six of the postcard anthologies out right now. And they're 20 stories each. And I had to bounce almost 100 stories per anthology for because I had too many.
Whoa. Nice.
Yeah.
So you got to be selective. That's a good thing. We
oh,
can
yeah.
be selective.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you got the volume to put together an absolutely top tier anthology. That because yeah, because
mm-hmm.
you
they're,
know
they're
I mean,
fantastic.
Many things.
Some people took up the challenge of staying within a very specific structure and a very specific limit,
mm-hmm.
And seeing and every word mattered. And that's kind of what I love about. That's one of the things I love about romance is that I know exactly what's going to happen. So let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. But how you get there. And, well, tell us about the Alien Bride series. I mean, that's one you're known for. And I'd love to hear about the series and how many titles you have out and where that's going. That sounds like an interesting one.
It is. It's a lot of fun. So the Alien Bride series was actually a response. I think all literature is a conversation. The Alien Bride series was a response to a lot of the sci-fi romance I had been reading because I really hated the really lazy tropes that a lot of authors were using of how to kick things off and to get them into space.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted strong female characters and I wanted professions that you don't typically see in a lot of romance. So my main character is a welder on a space station.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually became a welder after leaving her job as a lawyer for various personal reasons. That's actually a spoiler in the book. and she's on a space
nice.
Station, and a spaceship comes through a wormhole, and they don't think Earth is inhabited because millions of years ago, they sent a planet destroyer through to terraform it and get rid of the monsters that were living on the planet at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come through and they hit the space station that's not supposed to be there because there's not supposed to be anything on Earth because they've destroyed Earth. And it should be habitable by now.
Mm-hmm.
crap, we hit something, we knocked up into space. And oh crap, there's a life form, pull it into the ship, put it back together, and let's talk to it. I have, doctor and patient romance, and they have to learn how to talk to each other. They have to learn how to communicate without being able to communicate. They have to figure out why they're compatible in ways that they really shouldn't be because he's an alien and she's not. And they're big blue aliens because I like blue.
That's my favorite color.
And that's the first book in the series.
Nice. Very nice. And is that available currently?
It is available currently. It's The Alien's Accidental Bride. That's the first book in the Alien Bride series. I actually just released The Alien's Christmas Kiss, which is the seventh title in the series. Yes, and I'm currently working on The Alien's Major Dilemma, which is the next plot arc, and we go into the green aliens.
Well, that sounds like a book that you and I both, or a series that has stuff, elements that would appeal strongly to both of us, I think, because listening to how she describes it, that sounds really interesting. A lot of cross-genre dynamics going on, too.
Yes, I love cross-genre. And the one thing about cross-genre, you were talking about how your romance writers like one thing, and sci-fi like, you're actually increasing your reader base because you've got readers that normally only read your sci-fi stuff that might now say, ooh, I like this, and take a look at your
mm-hmm.
more of your romance stuff, and vice versa. So you're actually increasing your audience, you know, and reader base by, you know, jumping those genres and bending those worlds and blending them together.
Right.
Blending them together and blending them well. So both people are satisfied. And that's the hard part. I think one of my best compliments I've gotten this year was someone who picked up the Aliens Accidental Bride at a convention I did last year, 2022. And they came back and saw me at the same one this year. And they said, so I bought every book you wrote over the last year, and I loved them, and I gave them to my daughter. And I told her to just skip these two chapters because they have sex in them. Like, that's fair. Like, I don't want my children to read that either, because it would just make them incredibly awkward. But like, that was, he came to me to buy one of the Space Marines anthologies that I was doing with Rack and Trip Press. He only reads sci-fi, but he picked up the Aliens Accidental Bride because he wanted to support an indie author writing science fiction, and he loved the entire series and was very surprised by it. And has told everybody that he was very surprised by how much he loved it. So, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like there's lots of action adventure elements to it, and lot of things. I mean, just listening to your description, and I'm definitely interested after hearing that. I'm gonna have to take a look at this series too. Sounds good.
It's available on Amazon, and I actually just started doing my covert covers for people who want print covers but don't want to have the naked tested guy on them. They're mostly on spaceship interiors.
Gotcha. All right. And so how many books are out and how many are planned, or do you know yet?
So far I have to count this again. I have 6 books, 1 novella and 2 short stories. So actually 9 titles currently. 9 titles. I'm planning at least 3 more in the next arc. I only plan on writing 3 for this one. So 3 became 9. I plan to grow. I have 6 alien races planned for the entire series total. So I've got at least 15 more books coming. But I'm going to stick with the next 3 for sure. So.
Fantastic. Well, your readers definitely have a lot to look forward to. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I hope so.
Well,
and there's a Jurassic Park joke in every book.
Oh, neat. Everyone would like that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I would appreciate that as well, for sure. Well, that's impressive. And you also have your hands full with a lot of stuff going on with Raconteur Press. And I was going to ask you next about your 24 and 24 challenge for next year. What is that all about?
Okay, so this year was kind of haphazard with how we did some of the anthologies, because we don't want to turn away a good story, but there's we also have a very limited number of stories that we will put into any book at any given time because of how our philosophy is to have fun and get paid. We are very serious about both, and we do everything through profit share. So everybody can see what everybody else is making. And if you dilute the amount that you're getting paid from each book too much, it starts to become not worth writing for it and not worth reading it. So we're really doing about 10 stories per book. But what we ended up with this year was, hey, we got 40 great stories. I'm only putting 10 in a book. And these 10 flow together the best. So I do with the other 30. And so I actually asked the people who sent me stories. I'm like, hey, I'll do corrections on them. And I'll send them back. Because like I said, this wasn't started as we're going to start a publishing company. This was started on a bet. I bet you could get 10 people to write a story on this particular subject. And Michelle said, no, I can't. And now we have 4 anthologies on that subject. So we have 41 stories. Yeah, it's like, so this year was kind of haphazard putting it all together. So when we sat down and said, okay, what topics do we have to have? Because we have already promised people that we're going to do more anthologies. People are like, well, why don't I just put out a volume 2? on somebody's like, okay, well, we'll just do, are you guys good with waiting for a volume two? Like, this was a, you know, talking to my writers and talking to the people who are working with me and the people who wanted to read the story. It's like, yeah, we're willing to wait for a volume two. So next year we're doing a lot of volume three and volume four in some of our more popular series. And we're like, well, what, I don't want to just do one or two topics. Since we're only going to do anthologies, what other topics do we want to do? And we had people who had been sending us suggestions and buying us lots and lots of alcohol. I was like, you should do this. And I'll go, that's a great idea. And they're like, great, we've heard it. And so we sent some emails like, hey, by the way, you promised to do this. We're like, okay, we'll figure out how to do that. So we took all of those lists and put them together and came up with a schedule and realized that we were doing two anthologies a month for the year of 2024.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Wow.
You're going to need a lot of alcohol.
You might need
yeah.
some.
Like, drinking gets me in trouble. I don't do that anymore. It's a lot of things.
I was going to say, wow, two a month?
We're issuing a challenge. And I have a couple of people who have actually said we're going to try for it, which is write a story for every anthology.
Oh,
and if
wow.
So we're going to put out 24 anthologies, and I've got a handful of writers who are like, you know what, I'm going to write one for every anthology. And if it doesn't get in, I'll send it somewhere else, or I'll wait. But I will have written 24 stories for the year of 2024.
Wow.
And it's an open call anthology, so anybody who wants to participate can. They can go find our topics on the website right now, which is thelawdogsfiles.com/raconteurpress. I can send that to somebody. We have steampunk. We're doing Weird West. We're doing more space marines, more space cowboys. We have a coffee anthology because we have a coffee sponsor. And our coffee sponsor is King Harv's Coffee, and they have a planet blend. Like, we have one for each, a different blend for each planet. We have our own blanket fort blends. They've got single source from Papua New Guinea. We've got Nicaragua, Ecuador. There's all these wonderful
nice.
Blends. And we're like, hey, can we tell the stories behind these coffees? And he said, sure.
That's impressive. Well,
yeah,
by the time you see it, you should be. I was going to say, by the time you come see us in July, you'll be up to, by my calculation, probably the 13th or 14th new anthologies will be out. That is wild. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
We're a little
I know how much
busy
goes into. I was like, I know how much goes into one anthology, and I know very well what goes into even one anthology to do two a month. That's something else. And I love the spread of genres. That is going to showcase a lot of writers,
mm-hmm.
a lot of different
and that's
writers.
That's kind of our hope. We want to give a bunch of our writers a chance to stretch and to spread, mm-hmm. you know, see what they want to play with, and just give them a kind of a not a judgment-free, but a very much a safe place for them to play in a new genre and to explore new things.
Uh-huh.
We have a couple of people who we published their first story because they knew us, and they're like, you know, maybe I could write a story for you guys. I'm like, well, why aren't you writing more? They're like, this is the first thing I've ever written. I'm like, well, I kind of hate you now because this is amazing.
Nice.
And it's been like a real honor to do that. I have in our post-grad anthologies, I have 2 8-year-olds and a 6-year-old. Who got their first publications with us.
Nice.
Because they were fantastic stories, and they had to beat out a whole lot of other people to make it in.
Right.
So these weren't just we want to put a kid in there. We like, no, this was a legit good story.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's neat.
Yeah.
Well, that helps, a lot of new authors, you know, baby authors that want to, you know, spread their wings and get published so they can say they're mm-hmm. published. You know, and it gives them something to, you know, dip their toes in. So I think that's cool, and I commend you for doing that, for
what?
Listening to, you know, not just already published authors, but you know, baby authors and authors, you know, from all genres. I think that's really cool.
I think it's awesome to be able to send stories in genres, like established authors being able to send stories in genres they may not be known for. I mean, I've experienced what that's like, and that's fun to be able to widen your range in your writing and try new genres out and other types of storytelling. And I think that's great for the established author as well. Around.
Well, our Pinup Noir story, I was teasing an author friend of mine who's fairly well known, but not like out there. And he's a horror writer. And he's like, I'm like, I need a Pinup Noir story. He's like, I love noir. I have an idea. And he sends me a cyberpunk story. I'm like, it is so outside of what he's known for. But I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm so glad you came and played with me. And we give them an opportunity to do stuff that they're not writing the same thing over and over and over and over.
Right.
I enjoy.
Because they're readers. Like if you got somebody that just writes one genre, they have a certain readers base, you know, and that's what they read. It's either horror or it's, you know. And this gives them a chance then. They've got some kind of cool like steampunk story or, you know, some kind of romance, say, you know, in their head, and they just want to write it. This gives them a chance to do that. Yeah, I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. Pick up some new readers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was poking at, there was a debate going on one of our Facebook pages a couple weeks ago, almost a month ago. Been a minute. Where I said, you know what, I would love to do Regency romance in space. And to really make it work, you'd have to have kind of like a shared world, and I was kind of like walking through how you would have to do it. I had a bunch of my sci-fi guys who were like, we're down, let's do this. And I'm like, wait, you guys realize this is romance, not sci-fi. I mean, there's sci-fi in it, but like, this is a romance. So like, yeah, let's do this. And I'm like, okay. So they want to take on the challenge of writing a romance for guys who typically wouldn't do that. So,
That's cool.
That's not like on an official list anytime soon yet, but that's, you know, Regency romance in space. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? That's cool. That should be almost one of your press mottos. Why not?
But you
have a cool motto. Have fun, get paid. And I think that's cool. And that kind of ties into what you were, I think, alluding to earlier with the profit sharing. Is that it? Or is there more to that motto?
It really is. Lodog, he's Ian McMurtry. He'll be here. He'll be sharing with us next year. He was there last year. He has noticed that a lot of young authors get really preyed upon. And one of the big problems that they have is they don't know how to read their royalty statements. They don't know what they should get paid. They don't know how their rights work. They don't know a lot of this stuff. So, you know, the have fun is we want you to have fun and tell the stories you want to tell, and we're going to have a party. Like, we roll into somewhere and we run BarCon. Like, we'll do other stuff too, but we're in the bar, we're having a good time. Like, that's just what we do. But we also want you to get paid, and not just from us. So we do all of our stuff through a website called PubShare, which means they update it once a day. And they said, so you can see our sales every day, and you can know exactly how much you're getting every day. You know how much I'm making, you know how much all the other authors are making. We do an exact split between all of our authors, and they don't have to go through me to get their author copies. They can go directly through the person who runs PubShare. They don't pay me shipping and handling. They get them at cost. So they can have their author copies. They can take them to places like Imaginarium and say, hey, if you want a copy of my book, I've got it right here with me. You know, I don't want them to like open a bookstore, but like if they have a handful of them with them, they can take them with them and like offset the cost of their gas and their hotel and all that to get there. Right.
Absolutely.
I want them to get paid. I want them to know what their rights are. I want them to be able to read their contract and know what they're selling me and what they're not. How to read them for other people. How to turn in their work so they're more likely to get read, even if so a lot of them start with me, they're going on to other presses and submitting to other presses because, hey, you guys aren't doing this, but someone else is doing this, it looks like a lot of fun. so they know how to find the good contracts and the bad contracts. They know, like, if they're reading this, they go, oh, I don't get paid until, like, all, you know, they say, you know, I don't get paid until all of the all the expenses are come out, but it doesn't tell me what the expenses are. It's like, okay, maybe you should talk to them about that, and maybe that's not a contract you sign. So we want them to get paid, and not just from us, but, like, in their business in general. We're teaching them good business practices. We're teaching them good how to be a professional and how to be a professional not get taken advantage of.
So nice.
We're
so
very serious about
mentoring. So you're mentors as well. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, I've got to be honest. I have never heard of PubShare, and now I'm looking into it. And thank you telling me about that, because that's really cool. Yeah, I think we need to talk more about this in the future, or maybe even at Imaginarium, because that is a really neat option and problem solve for co-authoring and anthology projects, because practice, you know, like us, we've quit doing anthology. It's just too much to keep track of with all the authors.
Because the royalties are a pain in the butt to take care of, to take track of. Yeah. And I wanted to take it out of my hands so that I wasn't, like, if I had a, you know, because I ended up with kidney stones. I was down for a month this summer. And if I was down for a month and, like, nobody got paid, I didn't want that. I didn't want me to be the reason that nobody else got paid, which is why we're doing it through PubShare. So it's out of my hands. There is no temptation to, hey, I need to pay my rent, so you're going to be, I'm going to be late on paying my royalties for a month. We're not going to do that.
Right.
So it's it takes a lot of the stress out of making sure that our people get paid.
I think
that's
brilliant.
Very nice. Yeah.
And it takes, it takes a lot of stress off of you, too. I mean, you don't have to worry about all this, and you know they are getting paid. So. Yeah, I
really
like that.
If I had to be the accountant, too, I would run screaming. that was actually one of my first stipulations was we had to find a way to do it where everybody gets paid and I don't have to be an accountant as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
That's a genius.
Well, you've described a quite an organization, and, you know, like I said, 24 titles and anthologies, no less, in 2024. And we've mentioned a few of the folks that are coming next summer. So tell us about the Raconteur team, because I'd like to give a spotlight to everybody that's working with you on getting this out. This is impressive.
We'll start from the top. I've got Ian McMurtry. He's our publisher. His business card says his job is to stand out front and look pretty. And really, he's the one in charge. He's the one who has set our vision, who's given us our core values of how we're going to behave and, you know, what we're going to do next. And he talks to people so that I can get my work done. So I'm not constantly fielding a million different questions. If he can answer them, he does. And he is an amazing leader and amazing boss. I don't think I would do this job for anybody else. He's just a wonderful person. And then we've got Rita Beeman. She is our charm offensive. She's in charge. She's been my co-editor on the Moggies in Space. Moggies is a British slang for feral cats. So we have cats in space.
Cats.
So she's my co-editor on that. She's also a college professor. She teaches English at the local university. I think she's still working on the PhD. But she's amazing. She's got the best shoe collection ever, and constantly just like this wonderfully put together, just charming Southern Belle. I just love her to pieces. And so she's technically our publicist, but her job is to go and talk to people so I don't have to.
love it.
And be charming at them. And then we've got Jonna Hayden. And Jonna is, she spent 30 years as a professional costume designer. She's done ballet, opera, anything, basically anything that could pay her. She was an independent artist living in Eugene, Oregon, until last year when she moved to Texas with me. Oh, 2 years ago. Yeah, we've been here for 2 years now. So she's also my roommate. So when I'm pacing at 1 o'clock in the morning and trying to get the next thing done, she's throwing things at me and telling me to go to bed. her business card. She's technically my, her official job title is production manager. She keeps, because she's put together these really big opera courses and she's put together these really big shows where you had to start planning them 2 and 3 years out. She is a master of Google Calendar, and she's helped me walk back my, because I've been self-publishing for 12 years, like basically since it was a thing, 14 years now. Gosh, I'm losing years now. Math is hard. So I internalized a lot of the different steps to publication. And so she made me unwind that and walk back how we do it. So we have a schedule of when everything needs to be done so we can do anthology after anthology after anthology. So once my part is done, I can hand it off to Sarah Clithero, who will not be with us, but she is our copy editor, and she is amazing. She is all about the Oxford comma, and she will hit you with things if you get your grammar wrong. Thankfully, she's in Kansas.
Excellent.
Not in Texas with me. So she's our grammar fashion. But she's an amazing copy editor, and so I pick the stories, and I put everything together because I was going in this anthology, and then she goes and does the copy editing, because by the time I've gotten there, I have glossed over all of the mistakes, and I'm going to miss half of them. And then while she works on that, my cover designer, who is Cedar Sanderson, who will not be with us, but she's a Dragon Award-nominated cover design artist, and she has set the tone for the Raconteur Fest books, and I think our covers are really gorgeous. I think they look wonderful. They're very professional, and she is amazing. You know, she reads my brain when I tell her kind of what I'm thinking for. So she's our graphic designer, and she does a lot of our online graphics, and she does our book covers. And then when all of that's done, they send the books to me. Where I do the final layouts and put everything together and make sure it's all ready to go for print. And then I send it to a couple of volunteer bug finders. They get it for 2 days, and then it gets up. So that's
nice.
My team. I have an intern starting in January, and I'm actually meeting him in January. So and he's going to basically, he wants to learn how to be a professional writer. So I was like, all right, I will teach you beginning to end. So he's basically going to be my shadow for 6 months.
Nice. Nice. Sounds like a great team. Well, we've had a few of you have come up here from North Texas before, but yeah, I was curious as to maybe some of the others that we may not get to meet in person, but yeah, I had a hunch there were some more, because yeah, the number of titles that you're dealing with and authors, I mean, yeah, it sounds like everybody's hands on all hands on deck for sure.
Oh yeah, and this year we're actually going to do novels eventually. So this year we're making sure that we've got every system in place so that when we're ready to break into the bigger works, we have everything ready to go and we can do all the work and not have to wait on somebody and not have our production deadlines slow down because someone's not ready. We will have practiced this for a year, 2 years by this point, and have hopefully all of the kinks worked out when we go into novels. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, exciting times, for sure. Holly?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know you're listening. She described that full team. That's nice.
I would love to have a team. We were working on that. Yeah, it's a two-man show, and boy, this boat is treading water. I'm telling you, it's a lot.
It's
tough. When you take off.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Multiple things, and we have the convention, and Imagineering has grown and now consumes every single one of my days, and which is a good thing. I'm very, we're very proud of Imaginarium and what it's become, and how we can offer, you know, help to the community. And even in rising cost of things, we try to keep it as low as possible. But as you know,
constant battle.
You guys are very well deserved of being proud of that, of being a part of your convention, because it's an amazing convention. I'll be honest. I was very impressed when I went there last year.
Thank you.
I'm glad you guys are going to have me back this year.
I figured you'd join somewhat because you're coming back.
I mean, I wouldn't be coming back if I didn't enjoy it, but I...
We may actually have an intern by then, because we're actually right now we're getting into the process of fielding potential interns, so we may have some help by the time winter gets done here. So
I will say that a lot of my help came from people being very frustrated at me because I was doing too much. Like John was my roommate, and I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm stressed. She's like, why? Yep. And then we wrote down everything I had committed to for this year. And when it got to 68 projects, we're like, oh, I'm a little stressed. And she's like, do you want help? I was like, yes, please.
I can relate.
She stepped in and took over, like took a bunch of it off my shoulders. Yeah. And Cedar moved in down the street. We're like, we need a cover designer. She's like, that's what I do. We're like, cool.
There you go.
Fantastic.
It starts to affect. Starts to affect your health, not just your mental health, but your physical health. I have had the worst year ever as far as health-wise. I have been in the hospital so many times. My body, I'm just done. You know, something has to change. And so, you know, and that's what happens to people, especially as a creative. You want to do, and you want to help everybody else, and you just stretch yourself so thin. So, you got to learn to balance work and life. That is a big thing. And exercise, you know, like you said, you're up till 2 o'clock, you know, we're either, you know, we're looking at words till our eyes are crossed. And then we realize, oh my God, I ain't moved my legs in like 2 hours, you know, and then you're stiff. Cause you're hyper-focused, especially with editing, you know, and
oh my God, yeah. It,
oh,
We have a physical therapy swimming pool near my house in Texas, which means the water is warm. So I will go and swim there twice a week. And I take a day a week where I am not doing anything that's work related. All of my electronics stay off, and I will go do something else. And have had my friend Dorothy's kidnapping me to go look at the museum. And we're going to go, like, should we go see dinosaurs? I'm like, yes, I want to go see dinosaurs. Who doesn't want to go see dinosaurs? Like, if she tells me and says, we're going to go see dinosaurs, I am out the door, and I'm not doing anything else the rest of the day. So,
see, that's brilliant. That's a balance, you know, and that's what we need. That's what we need in creative life. You sure do. Or you can burn yourself out quick, and then you're not as productive. You know, you're exhausted, and your brain can't function. And, yeah, so you've got to find that balance. I love those. I always try to get a panel in with an Imaginarium, you know, on the balance or, you know, creative exercises. But I do like your idea of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
I've often
used a gym
that has an indoor pool, and I've thought about going over there because I have fibromyalgia, too. So I've thought, I need to go over there a couple times a week.
And warm pool is actually really good for fibromyalgia, and it's good for physical therapy. So as someone who's been in physical therapy for 2 years now.
Oh, bless you.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's rough. Yeah, it's rough.
Well,
yeah, you got to keep active. That's the main thing. Got to keep active so the brain stays active, you know, and could create.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, we're getting near to the end of the live part of the show, so I want to give you a chance to give where people can connect with both yourself as an author and find your written works, and then also give your connections for Raconteur Press.
Okay, so I have cvwalterauthor.com. It's my website. Most of my stuff is available on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and search for C.V. Walter or C.V. Walter Alien Brides, it'll actually bring it up faster. You can find me there. I'm going to be at I'm going to be close to a dozen conventions around the country over the next year. I'm on Facebook as Stevie Walter. I do have an Instagram page, which I never update. For Raconteur Press, we have Raconteur Press Facebook page. We are, our website is lawdogfiles.com/raconteurpress. We're actually working on spinning that off to its own website, so work in progress right now. we have our Raconteur Press Facebook page. There is a Raconteur Press Instagram that we're getting started. There will be a Raconteur Press newsletter starting next year. And if you want to just come hang out with us because we're cool people, we have the North Texas Troublemakers on Facebook. We share a lot of our stuff through there. North Texas Troublemakers is not part of Raconteur Press, but Raconteur Press grew out of them. So it's a larger community of just wonderful creatives that like to hang out and have a good time, tell jokes, and basically just roll in and throw a party. So that's where you can find me. CVWalterAuthor.com and lawdogfiles.com/raconteurpress. All my stuff is there.
Well, I'm definitely going to be checking out your series because it sounds fantastic, and I'm really excited about this massive anthology project for last year. So, yeah, definitely keep us informed. So we will share links and help you signal boost it. And, yeah, I want to check that out for sure. But, Holly, before I turn over to Holly to wrap it up, I just want to thank you for being on the show tonight. And really been great having you as a guest. And I definitely want to feature some more of your team in the future, and as well as have yourself back. And it's been a great visit, and I've learned quite a lot about your writing and your press. It's been great.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I would love to come back.
You're welcome. All right, Holly, go ahead. I'm turning it over to you.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us, and yeah, send your other authors, send them in. We'd love to hear from them. I think it's quite fascinating what you're doing down there, and we enjoy having you at Imaginarium, that's for sure. Yeah, everybody, tune in next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great guest, another great talk, and hope you had a good holiday. And we will talk to you then. Have a great week. Good night.